Welcome to Rock Hard Caucus. It's April 20th, 2024. It's 4:20. We're celebrating weed.
Oh, yeah.
It's weed day, everybody. We're all doing weed together. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, dog.
I got some of these.
100%.
I got some chocolate that has hemp-derived THC in it. Because we all know that hemp is a completely different plant. It's totally, totally different thing. And it's legal.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Legalize it all.
There's a bunch of Caucasian women at Big Grove right now drinking, climbing kites, going crazy. So God bless.
And climbing kites is like a THC drink or something? What is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It has THC and CBD, which like...
Oh, so it's just weed.
Yeah, it is.
You might know more, Evan. I'm too hardcore. I'm like a chimney, so...
Yeah, so the thing is, there was like a farm bill that basically legalized the production of hemp, but they could only grow hemp that had a certain level of THC in it. But when they didn't realize when they wrote the law is that people were just going to grow the hemp with the low level of THC, but then just extract the THC out of it and then sell it. Which it is exactly the same thing. I mean, THC is THC. It's the same plant, same process for extracting it. So they kind of fucked up, and now they're trying to crack down on it. And like Iowa has this bill that hasn't been passed yet, I don't think, or signed yet, but it was like to limit the number of milligrams per container to 10 milligrams.
I saw
or
that.
Like 4 milligrams per serving. And if you're familiar with weed, like 10 milligrams, that might do you good, Justin, but... Most people.
Well, I'm very familiar with weed. To answer
well,
your question,
right. We're all smoking together. I forgot. I forgot that was.
I'm a very experienced weed user. I use weed all the time.
I guess the good thing is they're not trying to ban it completely. So that's silver lining.
Some progress.
Is that like, in Minnesota, a couple of years back, there was like some bill that they were trying to pass, but they accidentally like legalized THC like in edible form or something like that.
Yeah, that's the same. It's like it's actually a federal farm bill, so it technically legalized it like everywhere, which is why we can get, you know, the climbing kites and stuff. So yeah, it's really stupid. Federal drug regulation is very stupid, as we all know, and it's like there's no consistency at all.
Yeah,
we see Justin literally using needles to inject THC into his vein. So
it's the most direct way to do it. If it hits the bloodstream immediately, then I get high on weed as fast as possible. So that's how I do it.
Yeah. I think I'm going to eat some of these chocolates because it's going to take like an hour to kick in. And then Justin will get mad at me for being too stoned on the podcast.
So an hour from now, you will feel good.
Yeah.
Do we want to introduce our guest or should we not say your name? Do we want people to know that you're on the show?
I mean... Dude, actually, we shouldn't say my name. Let's see if people can just like tell by my voice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I kind of want to be on the news again.
True. Let's see how many anchors we can get to say "Rock Hard Caucus."
That's the goal.
By the way, I did draft up a list of words that you cannot say.
Thank you so much. My lawyer appreciates you.
Yeah, take a look at this list here and don't say any of them out loud. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so weed should be just across the board legal. We're talking about the weird sort of like gray area loophole shit that's like accidentally creating weed regulation. But the reason that it should be legal across the board is because it's medicine from the earth, right?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And speaking of medicine, I'm like a little bit sick right now. And I don't think I have COVID, but I do have this. This has been expired for a year, according to the expiration date on it.
I have some of those under my sink that Joe Biden hooked me up with. but I think they're also expired.
Yeah, I got these COVID tests that I got for free in the mail, but they say that the expiration dates don't actually mean anything. I don't fucking understand.
That's a good point. It's true for most pharmaceuticals. It's expired as far as the potency decreases, but it's still like, you know, like most people aren't going to notice the difference between like 80 and 90% potency.
Okay. And I mean, this is just supposed to test if I have COVID in my snot, right? So that has nothing to do with potency.
I think there's people who like buy up expired drugs and like redistribute them. Which...
I can tell a good COVID story. Do you want to hear a good COVID story?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. This is like, and I'm sure that this person wouldn't mind knowing this. So the first and only time I ever got COVID, it was like 2 years ago, that one like super, it was just like this weird, windy, windy, cold night. And I cannot remember why, but I had an obligation to meet or talk to Bruce Teague.
Yeah. Mayor of Iowa City, for anyone who doesn't know, who's listening.
Yeah. And so I like told him that I wasn't feeling well. And this was at the time when, and I still think actually they do this, that lab in Coralville was like letting you like send your spit, like drive it up there and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember doing that like, you know, 4 years ago. Yeah.
Yes. And so I told Bruce, you know, like, I think I have COVID. I'm not feeling well. And he drove to my house at like 11 o'clock at night because he had one of those spit COVID tests and sat outside and like while I did it and then drove it to the lab for me. So if you need a COVID test, ask Bruce Teague to just do one. Just ask, ask to get there for you.
I guess I could just call him now. Since this is like maybe expired, I can get one from him. Do you have Bruce's number? We can read that out on the show for anyone who might need a COVID test.
But that was like the most kind thing that anyone's ever done for me. I was like, wow, that is very kind of you. Thank you, tax dollars. That is what I mean by public servant.
Yeah.
That's
the energy I need.
He should do more stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have politicians just like come up to people's houses to just deliver it by hand to anyone who needs one.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to put my dog in her kennel because she's going to start being really annoying with a toy right now because I'm talking and it's not her.
Yeah, I'm having trouble reading the instructions on this COVID test and trying to pay attention to the conversation at the same time.
You just stick your whole, the whole toothpick thing or Q-tip thing all the way into your nose. Like,
I
make
stick
sure
this up into my brain.
Yeah, you scrape your brain, you get a little bit of brain cells, and then you
I haven't been sick
mix
in like
it
a long
up with
time.
Some, yeah, I got hit with the Omicron wave, but that's the only time I've been sick, and I was triple vaxxed by the time I got it, and I haven't been sick since.
Yeah, I have yet to ever test positive. So what I want to do is take this test live on the show, and then, you know, 15 minutes later, we'll find out if I have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm supposed to put the liquid in the hole first for some reason.
Hmm.
Right? So I put six drops in.
I don't know. It depends.
That's what this one says.
Might be a different test. I don't think I've actually taken any of those because, again, they're sitting in my bathroom.
No, don't drop anything on it. Justin, what are you doing?
I'm reading the instructions.
Says, what are you doing? Hold on.
It says take the test card out of the pouch, which I've got it here. Remove dropper bottle cap, which I've done. Hold dropper bottle straight over top hole. Put six drops into top hole.
Oh, it's one of those lines.
Yeah. Do not touch card with tip.
Okay, never mind. Keep
Which
going.
Tip?
There's a lot of stuff about holes and tips.
Yeah, that's like very trash. Joe Biden, Jesus.
Yeah. The government was sending this to people's homes for free. All this
My
about...
7-year-old granddaughter.
I would not want my granddaughter reading this.
No.
This smut. Okay, yeah. Okay, you put the liquid in the hole first. I'll put six drops in there. Three, four, five, six.
Riveting podcasting.
I know it is.
We got some slow delay. I mean, I'm eating this chocolate. You're going to have to wait 15 minutes for that test to hit.
Yo, I got
It's the 420 special.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I've had a very shitty week at work, so.
The pacing is
going to
be slower.
I'm chilling
today.
This weekend.
Because we're all high on weed.
Yeah.
All right,
you
this goes
just play
up my
music
nose.
Throughout the entire podcast.
just keep that like low
level
of
the background
reggae that I found. Keep it going the whole time. Okay, this goes. I got to do it in both nostrils, I guess.
Damn, how are you not flinching?
Yeah, that's
sociopathic. What the fuck?
I'm an experienced drug user, so sticking stuff up my nose is fine.
At least you don't have to have someone else do it for you, like those early tests, right? Like when you had to, they had like drive-through
go
ones.
Go deeper.
Yeah, you have to like really get it up in there.
Okay. Ugh. And then I stick it into the card through the bottom hole. Mm. You call this like the lollipop style, right?
I guess.
Okay, and you turn it around a few times.
All of this is like references to drugs, like you're like a lollipop, like you're dropping acid, like
yeah.
It's like all sex and drug references with the COVID tests.
Who is it, that detransitioner? She did LSD?
Yeah, Chloe Cole. That just came out today, I think.
Yeah.
She's like suing somebody, her doctor maybe. But she like had a revelation that she was not trans because she did a bunch of LSD and God started talking to her. And she never told that to anyone until now, this lawsuit.
That's
so
amazing.
I did LSD in high school, and let me tell you, I remember smelling a giant bag of weed that smelled like lavender, and then I opened my eyes and everything in the room was lavender. And then I like literally like lost it. And I just don't know that I believe that she took good acid because
yeah,
I think some deep rooted shit in there, because that's not what high schoolers think about when they trip on acid, weirdo.
Yeah. Yeah, all the times that I've done acid, it's been a lot more like your experience, colors and stuff. I know all about LSD and acid.
Yeah,
and
actually, I'm way out of that phase of my life, but I did do some acid one time, and I thought I figured out the meaning of life, which is learn to love and like it or else. That is that is my meaning of life.
Yeah, I definitely like... would not I don't think I have like I have too much rage with everything that's happening in the world to be able to do acid or anything like that now, but yeah. And like my tummy's too sensitive for mushrooms.
Yeah, it's intense, and like yeah, I think like once you've done psychedelics enough, it's like you kind of just reach a point where you're like, this is just like, I'm just going to be uncomfortable for like 6 hours and it's not really worth it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I fucked up this test because the control line just went away.
Well, it's expired. We'll,
yeah. It's we'll, true.
Cut him a break.
Okay. So I wanted to tell you about like the experience of like, am I sick or am I not? So I was not really feeling sick at all until last night. I was working at the theater and I got Burger King for dinner because I was being lazy and gross. I was eating the fries really fast, and a little chunk of French fry, I accidentally like breathed it in, and I think it got lodged in my nasal cavity. I couldn't like really feel it, but it felt like I think something was up there. And then, you know, as the night went on, that was irritating me. So like my throat felt a little weird. My sinuses felt a little weird. And then at like 3:30 in the morning, I woke up and I like had to blow my nose, and like a solid thing came out. So I think I dislodged the French fry, and I don't feel like very sick, just like a little bit like weird in my head. So it may have just been the fault of that French fry.
I thought you were going to say you thought the fry cook had COVID and it was like on the French fry and then it transmitted to you through the French fry.
It's not supposed to work that way, right?
I don't think so, but You never know.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were like spraying our like bags outside of our, or people were, I wasn't, I never did that dumb shit.
I know.
Stupid, but gosh.
Yeah, it was funny. They were like coming up. Oh yeah, it's like it's on all every surface that you touch, but definitely not in the air. Like that was like the first month of COVID.
Yeah, the brief period where they were just straight up lying to us was fun, and it really set the tone for the next few years.
I was at the I was working at the hospital then. The CDC told us to wear fucking bandanas around, like
they just like were on just your like, head or around your neck.
Yeah, like. The sheer stupidity. We were literally putting our masks in bags to reuse them. Like, yeah, that's why I just like never, ever since the beginning, we all the nurses were just like, yeah, these guys are morons. Bandanas? Like, what?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm avoiding saying your name, but I wanted to have you on the show so that we could discuss issues of incarceration and policing. But a recent news story kind of like jumped to the top of the queue. Yesterday, our governor signed a bill that would allow school staff to carry guns at school. And this does relate to a recent conviction and sentencing, so it contextually it matters. I haven't read like all the details of this bill, but you have to have like some, like it's like a 1 day training that you have to get as a teacher or staff member at a school, and then you, as a result of that training, you have a license to carry a gun in a school, and you have some level of qualified immunity if somebody is injured or killed as a result of you firing that weapon.
Do they get a badge too? Like qualified immunity for teachers?
yeah. I don't know if this is a good idea.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say no.
No. So luckily the thing is we can pressure our school board to opt out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a wonderful thing. And so I'm not sure when the school board meets. I'm too stoned to look it up right now.
Me too.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. And yeah, so that makes me think about my dear friend Brandon Jones,
yes.
Who is currently incarcerated at the Oakdale prison. That's the classification center. So what happens usually is when you get sentenced, you go to the classification center. They do like meds and like classify you, like meds by like you get health checks. So like mm-hmm. physicals, they make sure you have glasses, you meet with doctors, like all of those things. And then you're classified and then you get sent off somewhere depending on how you're classified. And so Brandon is a father of four. And last November, his 8-year-old son was sent home from school, suspension, and they made him walk home. And Brandon has his legal right to carry. He worked as an Amazon delivery driver, and his main area of like delivering was in Cedar Rapids, mm-hmm. actually. So like that was like his range. So one, I don't really blame him for feeling the need to feel like he has to protect himself. And two, however I feel about guns, he has his legal right to carry. He's never been in trouble ever mm-hmm. in his life. He's a responsible gun owner. He has a safe. He has a holster, all of those things. But that morning he was getting ready for work and his son walks in through the door. They made him walk home from school alone. And his son said, you know, you have to talk. The principal said, you got to talk to him before I can go back to school. And he was flustered. His partner, they had a 1-month-old baby at the time, and they had to kind of figure out their budgeting because of the fact that she wasn't going to be working anymore. And so they decided to hold off on their phone bill and like not have cell phone coverage.
So the school couldn't call them.
No, but they didn't either way.
They didn't even try.
Okay.
And Brandon was obviously flustered, upset, frustrated. His partner is at home with a 1 month old after a complicated childbirth, and went to the school frustrated. He was in Grantwood for all of 3 minutes, forgot that he had his gun in his holster, and he literally took it off. He unclipped it and handed it to his partner, gun still in the holster. Again, literally in Grantwood for 3 entire minutes, and then was arrested later that night, or later eventually that day. He was arrested, held on a $30,000 bond. They had a burglary charge for him. Yeah, which is so weird.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, did he take something?
No. I think it's just like pressure.
Yeah. I think probably everyone listening can probably pick up the implications here. I don't think we've said explicitly Brandon is a black man. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, he is a black man, and so eventually what ended up happening was he took a plea deal while he was incarcerated in the Johnson County Jail. His family couldn't afford to bond him out. There was still that burglary charge, and through communication with his lawyer, they were trying to obviously get that burglary charge off. They usually give you higher charges in hopes that you'll plead down, so that they don't have to waste time going to trial. So there's often like the threat of like, okay, well, if you go to trial, they're going to try to get you on burglary, and like that has a higher time.
Right.
Consequence for it. So like you should plead down to this. And so eventually Prairie Lands Freedom Fund bonded him out. And I have been like in contact with his family and whatnot, and supporting them along with a few other members of the community. But our goal when we bonded him out was to make sure that he could, you know, get a job, kind of try to get back on his feet. His partner still wasn't working. They were behind like $6,000 on rent. You know, he was the sole breadwinner at the time, and three kids, four kids, all under 10, and three of them are from a previous marriage. But yeah. And he, like, not that it even like needs to have justification. He's just like the best and nicest guy ever. He's so gentle. He's such a good father. He has custody of his first three kids from another marriage, which like says a lot as a black man. He literally, the only thing on his record is like a speeding ticket, which isn't even like an actual criminal offense.
Pretty much everyone has at least one of those. So the arrest was in November after his son had been sent home from school. I mean, we could talk about the racial disparities in the school district in terms of punishing students, right? Which is definitely a component of this issue because his son is also black.
Yeah, I mean, the Iowa City Community School District actually happens to be one of the worst in the state of Iowa, as far as like disparities go.
That's you may not expect that, right? Because Iowa City prides itself on being, you know, more progressive than the surrounding areas. So why do you think they're one of the worst? How did that happen?
White people? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't have a better explanation than white people either, but... What are the demographic differences in Iowa City compared to, like, Cedar Rapids?
Here, my friend did the climate survey for ICCSD, and because of the new laws, we can't do surveys like these anymore.
Yeah, I remember there being some reports on this a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Des Moines has got to be near as bad. Like, I would like to see the difference between that and Iowa City.
How do I do this? How do I... Well, maybe I'll just put it in the chat.
Oh, yeah, sure. Please excuse our technical difficulties, everybody. We're super, super high on weed today.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Where is it? Is it...
Are you trying to get to the chat?
Yeah.
I've got it open. It says Alt H is the shortcut to get to chat.
No, it just like won't let me press it in. Here, I'm just gonna text it to you.
All right.
No, send to Justy. Okay.
Got it. Oh, it's a PDF. Okay. I'm opening the PDF now.
Evan, I don't know your number, but
it's okay. Justin's got a lot higher public profile than I do, so
yeah,
I'll give it to you if you want after the show.
Yeah, maybe not live.
Read it on the show. Come on. Okay, so Al has sent me a 52-page PDF called School Climate Report 2021 to 2022 from the Iowa City Community School District. When they say climate report, are they talking about the environment?
Yes.
One kind of environment.
Yeah. The taller kids think it's much warmer.
It's true.
Heat rises.
You get too tall, it gets colder, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question that I asked a minute ago was about the demographics of the Iowa City School District. And I'm talking racial demographics, because that's really what's relevant here. 59% white, 17% black, 10% Latino, 6% Asian, 7% multiracial. So 60% roughly white people. And I assume there's something about disciplinary actions in this survey.
Oh, yeah. We go to like free reduced price lunch status and IEP and English language learner status. It's pretty interesting.
Does it have demographics of like the staff? Because I would imagine there might be a little bit more white staff than the students.
1,000,000,000,000,000%. And like the staff that are black or brown or BIPOC are usually not like teachers. They're not represented in like that way. They're usually support staff in any shape or form. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the 82% of the students reported that they feel their school is welcoming and safe. 71% of students agree that students are treated fairly when they break rules. But a lower percentage of black and multiracial students feel that they would receive the same punishment as others for breaking a school rule compared to white and Asian students. And there's a discrepancy of like roughly 10%. So fewer of the black students say that they would be treated fairly when they have broken a school rule. And that I assume is a major component of this situation with Brandon Jones and his son. His son was... I guess, I don't know. Do you know if he broke any particular rule that day when he was sent home?
I don't believe that rules should exist in elementary. I'm biased. Oh,
okay,
so.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's an elementary school, Grantwood Elementary.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's... That adds, like, a lot of context. You know, sending an elementary school-age student home by himself... I mean, it doesn't really matter what rule he broke. Like, that's clearly not an appropriate punishment. So when Brandon got to the school, he was upset about the way his son was treated.
Yeah. And it was just honestly so heartbreaking to watch the sentencing. Like, they used words like he was hunting for the principal and... like stalking the halls, and this man was in there for 3 minutes. And like, it was just very dehumanizing for a man who took accountability for, like, he straight up, it takes a lot of courage to, like, one, never have gotten in trouble for anything in your life, rightfully have your right, like, permit to carry.
Yeah, he was carrying legally. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you, I mean, and even on like the Facebook post when this had happened, like KCRG had posted it and people were saying like, well, he's got like his firearm on his holster and like a lot of his pictures. And so like, he's a responsible gun owner and I think that if it would have been a white man, that things would be very different. So
yeah, you said you took that he took a plea deal, right, to get rid of that burglary charge, which doesn't really make any sense. So what did he actually plead guilty to?
Having a firearm on school property, and I think harassment, maybe. Okay. And so the principal gave a victim impact statement, and so did I don't want to say a hall monitor. I don't really know what they are, but some guy who, and it was just also super dehumanizing to see that. It sucks because I truly believe in restorative justice. And I just know that that's not even something that prosecutors can even think of, especially with a case like this. And they want to make a point. The state is so clearly pro-gun and all of that. And I think that this is trying to teach a lesson yes, in a really horrible way.
Yeah. Big picture, I don't think it's good for anybody to bring a gun into a school for any reason. But
100%.
We just basically legalized that. a month after he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for not doing anything with a gun. He just had it briefly in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Don't think he would have got that sentence if he was white. I mean, the victim impact statements were they're scared of a upset black man. That comes through pretty clearly. And I don't think they would have reacted the same way.
Yeah.
No.
And I think what you were saying about them just trying to make an example of somebody is, that's what I was thinking about a lot when the news of the sentence came out. Guns in school is a huge problem that, and very recently we had a huge school shooting in the news in Iowa. Did the shooting happen after the arrest? I don't remember when the Perry shooting happened. That was January, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So that happened shortly before his sentencing anyway. And the state completely fails to do anything about that problem. And so, and a part of that is that the only thing that the criminal justice system is able to do is punish people, lock them up for their crimes. But school shootings are done mostly by minors, and they mostly don't survive the crime that they committed. So we have no one to punish, and that's the only thing we know how to do. So in this very rare incident where somebody who brought a gun into a school is still alive, we have to put all of those sins on him.
Yeah.
He will now be in prison for 5 years because we failed to do anything about this overarching problem.
Yeah, it's super messed up. And he's such a good guy. He's got good spirits. So I also just think about how this has also harmed his children more than anything. I spend time with his kids, so I have seen the way that this has impacted them. I was the one that told them that their dad got incarcerated and was sentenced. So I just think that for claiming to care so much about child safety and child welfare, we are not thinking about that for these three, four kids. And he's going to miss the most precious moments of, his newborn's life that he can't get back. And so it's just, it all really sucks. But all I can do is support his kids and be there for them. And, they're doing well, they're in good spirits. They're so cute and funny.
Yeah. There is a GoFundMe or something for the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can share that when we put this episode out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up. He was just trying to stand up for his kids in the first place. That is terrible. I guess we've talked about they want the benefit of deterrence. But other than that, there's no reason for this sentence. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't have any children, but I can't imagine a parent that wouldn't be absolutely livid that their child was made to walk home at like 8 years old on a cold November morning. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's an awful thing to do. Yeah. And I mean, I can think of punishments that I experienced at that age that were maybe not appropriate. And I can think of like how mad my white parents were and how we had the principal came over to talk to us about it. And, you know, even when my white parents got heated, no one went to prison over it.
Yeah.
What did you do to get in trouble?
This is crazy. I was just talking about this with Tony. We took a field trip to like a one room schoolhouse type of thing. And we all selected sort of like old school prairie names.
Oh boy.
I chose the name Jed to be like my one room schoolhouse name. And then I added the last name Clampett to make a joke about the Beverly Hillbillies. And my teacher thought that was very offensive and kept me after school for like a long time without contacting my parents. that's the incident.
Wow. Jed Clampett is offensive to who?
Yeah.
To Hillbillies?
Yeah, I guess the implication was she thought that I was calling everyone who runs the one-room schoolhouse field trip Hillbillies.
Oh, okay.
As a derogatory thing. But I was just having fun with a TV character that I knew about.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that word? Is that on the list?
Hillbilly? I think that's, you know, I think that's our word.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
If we make the news because Evan and I said hillbilly.
That was insane.
Oh, man.
What else are we going to... Now I'm fucking high. I don't even remember what to talk about.
I also... The guy who died in the Johnson County jail last month also, it was Nathaniel Davis. Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay. What do you know about that? I remember he just was like in the jail to serve a very short, like DUI thing.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't talk about it, but I don't know anything like genuinely. Like, but even if I did, I wouldn't tell you live.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. There's also like a fundraiser for his family that I saw too. And that happened, like the news of his death came out the same week that Brad Kunkel, our county sheriff, was in the news asking for a new jail.
Oh my God. Isn't it like there's something dystopian about like talking about how the sewage has been leaking for 15 years and like, you haven't, like, how sadistic is it to not have done anything?
Right. You're still throwing people in there where, like, rooms are filling with sewage, but you shove people into the cells anyway.
I have no idea. So, like, the history behind the jail thing is that this measure or bond has failed for 7 years.
So this is like a ballot thing that people are voting on?
I think I remember that this is, they've been trying to build a jail for like a decade. Like,
okay. I've probably voted against that a few times and forgot about it.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. So I think it has to be. So the last time it happened, and you might have to look this up, Justin, I think like the percentage. So it has to be like over 60%, but over 50% of people voted for a new jail. So I think it's like the supermajority or something. Or no, that's for the supervisors. I don't remember how it went down, but it was very close the last time, the most recent time.
Okay. Yeah. So why is he begging for a new jail?
He wants a new offie. A new office? I don't know. Like, so they're saying that it's not structurally safe. There are assessments that are being done by engineers that haven't been completed yet. But basically anything. So like if you've ever seen the Johnson County Jail.
I've seen the outside.
So the windows that you see at the top, those small little slivers, that's like all of the window space that is in there. and the whole thing. So it's very dark. And thankfully, I haven't had to be in there for a while. But from friends who have been in there, there's stains on the wall. Things are pretty, it's pretty cold in there. Chipping paint. I don't believe that you can talk to attorneys privately.
Oh.
I don't think there's a private space for that. Yeah.
That seems illegal, right?
Yeah. Like a place that's not. Yeah. Like I think, and the only way you can talk if you're like, a normal person to someone, a loved one in jail, is through, like, you go in and it's like a video phone. Like it's like a track, like this doc, like a computer that's behind this huge like plastic thing, and you are talking. It's video. You don't even get to see the person.
It's video chat, not like a mm-hmm. in person seeing through a window mm-hmm. like you see on TV. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
Oh, I don't know what it's like specifically for public defenders, but I don't think that there is a 100% private way.
Hmm.
I think they've also been talking a lot about like overcrowding, which is always like a double-edged sword, because they like try to spin it as like, oh, like we want to have, you know, crowded jails are obviously bad for the inmates, but then there's also an incentive for them to put more people in jail. Like
if they have the space, they're going to fill it. Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. I don't have experience in Johnson County, but I do have experience in Linn County, and it's a racket. They make you pay. Like, I think it's like six, at least at the time when I was like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, it was like $60 a night that you're on the hook for, to go to jail. Like, it's like a fucking hotel. And right. Then they also hit you with like all kinds of like charges for like probation. Like I was on self-supervised probation, which means no one is looking after you. They're not checking in with you. They're not doing anything.
You're accountable to yourself.
But you're paying like, I can't remember, it was like $300, $600 or something for that privilege of having no one do anything for you. Like
you're on honor system probation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did look up, I have an article in the Gazette where Brad Kunkel was talking about how he wants a new jail. You were right on with the ballot measure thing. In 2012 and 2013, Johnson County voters rejected bond measures. It got more than 50%, but it has to reach 60%.
Hell yeah. She's still got it even when she's blitzed.
Yeah, yeah. And I can still read even when I'm this high, it turns out.
Yeah. I think these edibles are starting to hit, so I might be out of commission for the rest of this one.
There's also in the Johnson County Jail, there's a good amount of people who are just simply sitting in there and they haven't been charged with a crime.
Right.
Like most of the people. And also, before I get into that, Linn County just recently ended their federal contract. So that's pretty cool because the feds are pretty cheap. So Linn County doesn't have a contract with the feds anymore.
What does that mean exactly?
So jails will contract with the federal government to house people who are charged with federal crimes mm-hmm. while they're waiting for trial and stuff like that. So since there's no federal jail system.
Right.
And so what happens is they kind of negotiate a bed price, essentially. And the feds are very cheap historically. So they got into it with Linn County. And subsequently, because of that, they ended their federal contract. So Linn County, well, I don't know how it works. Like if you, because like if you get arrested by a sheriff in Linn County and then it, like your charges become federal, like I just mm-hmm. I don't understand how that works, because like it's like they'll still have to house you, but they don't have an actual contract with them. So Johnson County has like contracts with like ICE, right. So we have people who are just being detained on immigration related charges, things like that, but I think I read somewhere that like 90% of people in Johnson County Jail are not guilty, or like they're just in there waiting?
Just pending. Yeah. Waiting.
Yeah.
So 90% of people have not been, well, they don't even have the charges filed yet, or they're just waiting for trial.
They haven't been proven of any crime.
Right.
You know,
right.
They might be charged, but yeah, you're still just waiting for your trial or a deal.
Yeah. And if you look at the Brandon Jones example we were just talking about, his bond was $30,000 because he was in a school building for 3 minutes with his gun that he's legally allowed to have.
Yeah. And so that's like a big thing. Also, like another thing that I think that needs to be talked about, and the only reason why I've been thinking about this, and I can't remember who or where, maybe it was on your podcast, talking about how the minimum wage is $7.25 because of like that law that the state made. That you can't increase it, but like Johnson County has like a recommendation.
Right, right.
So my friends, our friends who have been arrested and have taken plea deals for their participation in various protests at either Kinnick or Chloe Cole, maybe. Mm-hmm. Some of them are doing community service to pay off fines and fees. Which is actually like super wholesome, because that's why now we all get like wholesome farm content from really funny and amazing people.
Is that why they're all going to the farm?
Yes. Yes.
I hadn't put that together. That's nice.
Yes. Yeah. So, but the thing is like all of the Johnson County supervisors support a $15 minimum wage. So I think it would be really cool if they put their money where their mouth is and like made the volunteer hours be equivalent. So they get $7.25 taken off every hour that they volunteer of fees, which is like cool. But like, if you guys are saying that you want $15, then like make, and I don't know if you can actually, I haven't really looked into that. I only thought about it like recently in the last week, because I've been reading all these papers and like $7.25. Yes. What are you?
Still the federal like, minimum
they
wage.
They pay teenagers more now.
Yeah, very That's few actual I jobs like, are like still at the federal minimum wage. It's like not sustainable for if you want to keep.
Yeah, if you actually
want to
have anyone work for you.
Maybe restaurants, right? That are like tips. But most places, I mean, not Iowa, other shitty places, they pay their waiters living wages. So.
Yeah, it depends where, but yeah.
Yeah.
Not here.
Not here. Like $4 an hour.
Is that the tipped minimum? I don't remember that anymore.
Yeah, I think it's like four or something.
Yeah, like $4.25 or something like that.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Why have that job when you could have like seven different jobs that, right?
Yeah, if you can find, you know, six different jobs, you get like, you know, 4 to 10 hours a week that pay you 20 an hour, then you can patch together a really hectic life.
Yeah. Buy those health plans on the marketplace.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get health care that way or otherwise.
Yeah. Or marry someone with a normal job.
Oh, true. That's a good strategy, too.
It's so funny. I didn't know that, Justin. You, my partner, Daniel, met you before he moved here.
Oh, I didn't know you and Daniel were together. Yeah, Daniel's a good guy.
Yeah, he said he met you on some Facebook.
Yeah, we were both part of the Street Fight Radio Facebook group, and he was moving here and messaged me.
Nice. Yeah, we're big Street Fight fans. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Carrying on the legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had both those guys on the pod before, so.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What the fuck were we even talking about?
Well, to bring us home, I was wanting to ask you about you brought up restorative justice. You believe in restorative justice. What does that look like? And is it like within the current criminal justice system, what does it look like to try to achieve restorative justice?
Ooh-wee.
It's a loaded question. Oh.
Yeah, it's, let me just say that you have to be very persistent and like make sure that you have agency. So we can do this on another episode. But I was sexually assaulted in 2019 and I did restorative justice for that process. And it led to me asking for the sexual assault charges to be dismissed. And that's like, I'm kind of like a go big or go home ass bitch. So like, I kind of just, you know, I was like, put your money where your mouth is. Like, I was very radicalized by the whole experience. And like, I mean, listeners know from probably past episodes that, you know, the victim advocates at the prosecutor's office mm-hmm. are like not some of like the most amazing individuals. I mean, the one that was like texting Rachel Zimmerman during Tara's trial.
Yeah, yep.
We didn't even talk about that, I don't think. We missed that
detail. You didn't?
I'm not sure if I brought that up on the podcast, but yeah. And I forget his name now, but yeah, there was a guy that got his phone out in the courtroom.
And was texting the county prosecutor during Tara's trial. But I had a really bad experience working with them. And it was really dehumanizing. I didn't feel like I had any agency. And I felt like nobody really cared about like what I wanted in the process. It was all about putting a person in jail and making me relive that in a really bad way. That like I didn't want to be a part of perpetuating the harm.
Right, right. And just to clarify this, their job title is victim advocate, and you were the victim here, and they were not advocating for what you said you wanted.
Yeah. Justin, I wasn't even notified when the person who assaulted me was released from jail mm-hmm. on bond.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, it's all kind of like a farce to me. Like I'm so like far abolitionist that like I've already imagined what like it's what a different world could look like. And I think that that's just, we're so punitive and want to like punish and get back and like think that we're making examples out of individuals when like we could just really like be using our imagination and trying like different ways. Like I always go back to like, you know, like Fran McCaffrey's son.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
He killed someone in that horrible accident and he went to trial. Like we wasted our tax dollars on his son doing trial. And I think ended up having to pay like a fee of $2,000. Like it wasn't, I don't know if, I don't even know if he was found guilty. I can't remember.
I don't remember. And I'm so high. I just can't remember the details, but yeah, he killed a human being with his car.
Yeah. And he was a teenager. He's a 16-year-old boy. Yeah. And I think that that is like a serious crime and like horrible, but like, I cannot imagine, first of all, like the trauma and like how bad, like he's 16 years old, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's going to haunt you forever.
The rest of his life. And I just was like, personally, if I was a prosecutor, I would have just made Fran McCaffrey pay like all of the traffic violations for a bunch of people. And like, that's just like, I don't know, you know, like you could have just gotten like, there's so much more that you could do than waste our tax dollars with like traumatizing a 16-year-old boy like that. Like, I'm not saying that he deserves special treatment or anything like that. It's just like,
what good is coming out of the way that we're dealing with this now? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's just horrible. And it makes me really sad. And like Iowa is already, I think we're 18% overpopulated in most prisons right now. So it's just really like, I don't know. We have to like think differently about, yeah. And also I told my friend and fan of the show, Eric, who is currently incarcerated in Anamosa.
Yes, yes.
And he was cracking up that I was going to be on the show. And I was like, I'll give you a shout out. So shout out to Derek, the homie. I just had to send him money because they took their pillows away and made them buy them all back.
What?
Yeah, Anamosa is a really fucked up prison too. There's a lot of stories coming out of there all the time.
All the time. Like, he tells me about how, like, it's very much ever since that guard and nurse were killed by those two prisoners that, like, anytime one small thing happens or anyone fucks up, everyone's on lockdown.
Yeah.
Have you seen this show on Netflix called Unlocked?
I've heard of that, I think.
I have not, but I've watched way too many prison documentaries. And yeah.
No, it's okay. So it's like this sheriff in like Little Rock, Arkansas. He has one block of the jail that he unlocked. So they're usually locked up for 23 hours a day and get 1 hour of, you know, free time or whatever. And he unlocks the doors, takes the guards out, and lets them live in community and figure it out. It's actually very good.
Yeah.
I vaguely have heard about this. Yeah. And yeah, it sounds interesting.
It fucking works. Yeah. There's like a point where he gives them like free phone calls because they're doing well. It's just such a wholesome show. Until they kind of started like adding more individuals from different blocks in. Like, you have to do it slowly in the right way because people have to buy in, obviously, to the way things are going. And like, that is just how you have to operate in that situation. But it was a very weirdly wholesome show. And I learned a lot about how hooch is made. Bread crust?
Bread crust, yeah. You got to get the yeast in there.
Yeah, the yeast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have limited yeast sources when you're inside. Yeah.
Yeah, really only one, bread.
Yeah. Which is insane.
Yeah, we should probably start wrapping up.
Oh, yeah.
There's like an event next weekend, right? That Prairie Lands is doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So we are hosting a Know Your Rights event. So that horrible, hold on. I don't want to mess up because it's like HS.
While she's looking that up, I'll let you all know. Good news. According to this expired COVID test, I don't have COVID.
Congrats. You still have a clean record. No COVID that you know of.
Zero COVID infections, 2020 to 2024. The record stands.
So it's SF2340. So it's the weird, stupid law about how officers can arrest you based on immigration status.
Right, right.
And so we're hosting a Know Your Rights event on April 27th at the Iowa City Public Library. So it's going to start at 10:30 with like an information session. Prairie Lands Freedom Fund, we have made like emergency like planning packets with reauthorization, and we'll have lawyers there, and we've got like translators, and we'll have information and resources from organizations that never check status.
Nice.
And also we'll have Mesa for 503 for lunch. So pupusas and delicious food. So, and that's going to be at the Iowa City Public Library and meeting room A.
Right. April 27th, next Saturday.
Yeah. And you said my name earlier, so fuck. I think...
No, it's okay. Cut it out.
But blessings to everyone. I think I did good. I think my lawyer is going to be so happy with me.
You're very well behaved. You didn't say any of the banned words.
Yep. I didn't mention anyone in particular that you're not supposed to mention.
Yeah, I'm so good.
I think we'll be clean this week. Probably not going to show up on KCRG.
maybe you should have been more spicy. Nah, I'm just kidding. We're good. We're good. We don't want to be on KCRG. Fuck them. Yeah. Fuck the Gazette.
Yeah. Also, I want to encourage people to go to city council meetings and go to board of supervisor meetings and go to school board meetings, because we need to, first of all, not allow staff to be armed. That is just like, that's comedic absurdity. Like, I don't even know.
I can't imagine that most people here want that.
Yeah. Like,
right.
How many teachers are even going to sign up for the training?
Like, even among the staff, do they really want to have a gun on them?
I can think of a few teachers I've had who probably would, but
that's a very assistant principal
minority for sure. Yeah. Or like a wrestling coach thing to do.
Yep. Yeah. Like the PE teachers got like,
a starter pistol for track.
Exactly.
So I did pull up a little bit of details about that bill. The opt-out thing, I think, is about school resource officers. I don't know if school districts can opt out of like the whole arming staff thing. But the bill also mandates having school resource officers in the larger school districts unless their school board opts out by a vote.
Okay, well, that's going to be an April 21st problem. I'll check. I'll reach out to my resources. I'm going to watch Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
The newer one?
Yeah, that's my favorite to watch when I'm Stony Maloney, because the visuals are beautiful.
Yeah, lots of colors to observe. Nice. All right, so a few things to mention before we stop recording. Mentioned the Board of Supervisors. There is a candidate named Mandy Remington who I think is worthy of a vote. The Democratic primary is June 4th. If you register as a Democrat, you can vote for Mandy. I'm going to do that. No, I'm not going to argue with you if you don't want to vote. That's fine. but I've also recently been introduced to the concept of bullet voting, which means that if you have a ballot that says you can vote for up to three people, if you really, really care about just one candidate, you can just vote for them. You can only fill out one bubble if you want. And that actually, you know, mathematically ends up helping that one candidate more than if you were filling out three bubbles for candidates that you don't really care about. You can go to mandy4supervisor.com to find out more about her campaign and why she's running. There's also a fundraiser event on May 5th that I'll be playing music at, along with Early Girl and Mars Ohelia. So that'll be fun. That's at Hickory Hill Park in Iowa City. You can call us at 319-849-8733. If anything that our guest today said offended you, that's the best way to reach us. 319-849-8733. Yeah. You can also mail us stuff at P.O. Box 5336 in Coralville, Iowa, 52241.
I actually have two Central Iowa events to plug as well this
Tell
weekend.
The people.
On Saturday the 27th at the Des Moines Central Library, there's going to be a Central Iowa DSA workers roundtable for people. It's an informal discussion about organizing workplaces and stuff.
Very cool.
Then on the 28th, Sunday, there is a May Day potluck and gathering at Evelyn Davis Park. And it's just going to be food and games and stuff for kids, being put on by DSA, PSL, and Des Moines Mutual Aid. So
I want to try to go to that. Are you going to go, Justy?
I think I'm working next Sunday. I'd have to check my calendar, but
I will be there.
Hell yeah. I think I'm going to try to go with some Iowa City folks. Ronnie sent me the link.
Nice.
Cool.
Have fun, everyone.
All right.
Also, if you really like our podcast and want to give us money, you can go to patreon.com/rockhardcaucus. Evan and I are going to do another Slipknot review, hopefully this week. I'm trying to wrangle our guests.
Do I still give you $20 a month? Sorry,
I wasn't aware anyone gave us that much. But
I don't know.
I'm
not
too involved with that.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Well, thank you. We'll give some of it back to you here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm about to return some of that to you.
That's true. The hope is to release the episodes on like a $1,000 tier.
You've never been on the show before. Don't never lie to the in people. My life. No, this is your first time ever appearing on Rock Hard Caucus. All right, everybody out there, thanks for listening, and celebrate weed today on 420. It's weed day. Enjoy your weed.
Happy weed day.
Bye.
Bye.